Welcome to Bible Talk, the program that gives Bible answers to Bible questions. This program is brought to you by the St. James Church of Christ in St. James. Your speaker is Lynn Huggins, preacher with the St. James Church of Christ.
If you walk down the streets of St. James or Rolla and ask people, "Do you believe in Jesus?" probably the majority would say yes. But how many really understand what it means to believe in Jesus Christ? Well, today on our program, we want to address the question, what does it mean to believe in Jesus? In Luke chapter 5, beginning with verse 1, we read of Jesus standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God. He saw two boats standing by the lake, and the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Jesus got into one of the boats, one that belonged to Simon, also known as Peter. And Jesus asked him to put the boat out a little from the land, and Jesus sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. Verses 4 through 6 says, "When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, 'Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch.' But Simon answered and said to him, 'Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net.' And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking." Now notice, these fishermen had fished all night and caught nothing. Jesus says to Peter, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." Now do you see a little bit of conflict in Peter's mind when he says, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing"? You see, the fish are not out there. And don't you think Peter was tired? He had fished all night. He maybe was thinking it's time to go home and go to bed. But Jesus is the one who said, "Let down your nets for a catch." Well, what is Peter going to do? Is he going to do what may seem reasonable to him? Or is he going to do what Jesus said? Well, let me put it like this. Is Peter's faith going to prove to be a subjective faith? Or is it going to prove to be an objective faith? Now, a subjective faith results from one considering a thing within his own mind, deciding whether it is reasonable and therefore acceptable. A subjective faith must filter everything through one's own experiences and emotions before he accepts what Jesus says. An objective faith is founded upon absolute trust in something outside oneself. Let me illustrate. When my children were small, they would ask me and their mom questions, and when we gave them answers to their questions, they accepted the truthfulness of the answers without question. One would ask how to spell a certain word, and their mom would give them the spelling, and they accepted it. Why? Well, because they had absolute trust in their mom to give them the right spelling. This is objective faith. Now, when they got older, they began to question our answers to various questions. They began to filter our answers through their own experiences and emotions. Their faith in us became more subjective. But the point I am making is that when Jesus says something, it is not filterable. When Jesus says something, faith in Him means that we accept it without question. That's what it means to truly believe in Jesus. Well, what kind of faith did Peter have when Jesus said to him, "Let down your nets for a catch," after he had fished all night and caught nothing? Well, Peter said, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." I doubt there was anyone else in the world that Peter would have let down the nets just at his word other than the Lord. If John had said to Peter, "Let's go back out and let down our nets," Peter would have probably said, "No, John, I'm tired and it's time to rest." But because Jesus said, "Let down your nets," Peter obeyed without question. Peter's faith was an objective faith. Peter had complete trust in Jesus. Now consider with me this example in Scripture of subjective faith. In 2 Kings chapter 5, we read of a man by the name of Naaman. Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Syria. He was an important man in Syria. He was a mighty man of valor, but he had leprosy, a dreaded and deadly disease. He was sent to a prophet of God in Israel by the name of Elisha in order to be healed of his leprosy. When Naaman arrived at Elisha's house, Elisha doesn't even come out to him, but rather he sends a messenger to Naaman saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan," that's the Jordan River, "seven times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean." That's verse 10. Well, verses 11 and 12 says, "But Naaman became furious and went away and said, 'Indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. Are not the Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?' So he turned and went away in a rage." Now notice, Naaman filtered what Elisha the prophet told him to do through his own ideas and emotions. What Elisha the prophet of God said did not fit with his preconceived ideas. Naaman almost went home to die a leper as a result of his subjective kind of thinking. Well, he was later persuaded to do what the prophet said, and he was cleansed. You know, there are people today who have this kind of subjective faith. They read the Bible, and then if what they read doesn't fit the way they think, then they discard it. A person reads Genesis chapters 1 and 2 concerning the creation of the world, and then he filters all this through what he has been taught in a science class at school, or what he has heard on TV, and then he says, "I can't accept this." He rejects the Bible because it doesn't fit his way of thinking. Also, there was a lady who had a friend who died. Her friend did not believe in Jesus, but she said something like, "Well, I'm sure my friend is in heaven." Well, someone reminded her of what Jesus said to certain Jews in John 8 and verse 21, where Jesus said, "I am going away, and you will seek me and will die in your sins. Where I go, you cannot come." Also in verse 24, Jesus said, "Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins." Well, the lady didn't care what Jesus said. She knew her friend was eternally saved. Well, you see, this is subjective thinking that places judgment on what Jesus says rather than submitting to what Jesus says. Surely we can see what is wrong with this subjective kind of thinking. We're trying to filter through our finite mind the things of an infinite God. Let me illustrate it like this. What would you think of a person who tries to filter all the waters of Niagara Falls through a drinking straw? Well, it won't work, will it? The waters of Niagara Falls will overwhelm that straw. But I just as soon try to get the waters of Niagara Falls through a drinking straw as to try to filter all the things of my God through my mind. Someone said, "If I could filter the things of my God through my mind, I would be serving a very small God." And that's right. In Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, God says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." You see, God's thoughts and ways are not only different than ours, they are far greater. Jeremiah 10, verse 23 says, "O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps." Who do we think we are to think that we can filter the things of God through our minds and then place judgment on what He says? You see, either Jesus is the Son of God or He is not. Either the Bible is the Word of God or it is not. If these things are not true, then let's burn the Bible, go our way, and live the way we want to live. Let's stop giving Jesus lip service. But if Jesus is the Son of God and the Bible the Word of God, let us accept these words to be truth, believe them, and obey them without question. Let us start being doers of the Word rather than judges of the Word. Some people have called subjective faith a cafeteria kind of religion. You see, we read the Bible and we like this, so we get it, and we don't like that, and so we leave it, just like we do at a cafeteria. But faith in Jesus means that we accept all that He says, and we accept it without question. You see, Peter's faith in Jesus was an objective faith. He had complete trust in Jesus. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And this is the kind of faith in Jesus that we must have. A complete trust in Jesus that accepts all that He said and that submits to all that He commands. Now, I want to mention that this faith in Jesus is not a blind leap into the dark. The evidence that Jesus is the Son of God is sufficient for anyone who wants the truth. The evidence that Jesus was raised from the dead is overwhelming, and the fact that He was raised from the dead proves His claim to deity. Now, if Jesus is truly the Son of God, this answers a lot of questions. You know, someone asks, well, what about the creation account in Genesis chapters 1 and 2? Surely you don't believe that. Well, what did Jesus believe? In Matthew 19, verses 3 through 6, Jesus is asked the question, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason? Well, He answered by saying, have you not read that He who made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore what God has joined together, let not man separate. Now, notice Jesus here quotes from Genesis 1, verse 27, and from Genesis 2 and verse 24. It looks like Jesus believed in that creation account, doesn't it? Jesus here gives His stamp of approval of the Genesis account of creation. And that's all I need. I believe it too because I believe in Jesus. Would it not be inconsistent for me to confess Jesus to be the Son of God and then not to believe what He believed? Do you believe that story about Jonah being swallowed by a great fish? Someone asked. How could a man live 3 days in the belly of a fish? Well, Jesus said in Matthew 12, verses 40 and 41, for as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. There is Jesus, His stamp of approval of the story of Jonah. And that's all I need. Jesus also said in Luke 24, verse 44, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. Now, the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms is a reference to all the Old Testament scriptures. And so here is our Lord's stamp of approval on the whole of the Old Testament scriptures. And that's enough for me. We're talking about what it means to believe in Jesus. It means that we believe anything that He believed, anything that He said, anything that He authorized to be said. And that's the whole Bible. It means we do whatever He tells us to do. It means we don't try to filter it through our own intellect or experiences or emotions. We simply accept it because that's what He said. Anything other than this is not real faith in Jesus Christ. Our time is gone for today, and we thank you for listening. This program is brought to you by the St. James Church of Christ in St. James. Last week, we announced that the St. James Church of Christ would be having a series of meetings on the book of Ephesians during the week of March 29th through April the 3rd. Well, because of concerns over the coronavirus, we have postponed this series of meetings. We will reschedule this series for another time. The St. James Church of Christ has also suspended some of their regular services for the next few weeks. We normally meet each Sunday morning at 9:30 for Bible classes, 10:15 for assembly worship, and 5 o'clock Sunday evening for worship, and Wednesday evenings at 7 o'clock. Well, for the next couple of weeks and longer, if necessary, we will only be meeting at 10:15 Sunday morning for worship. All the other services have been suspended for this period of time. These are temporary measures being taken to protect the health and well-being of our members as well as the health and well-being of our community. We do believe that God is in control, and as we put our trust in Him and continue to show our trust in Him by serving Him faithfully through this difficult time, He will bring us through it and bless us in the end. Again, thank you for listening, and join us again next week for Bible Talk.